Hey Bears fans, this is Cole Wright from Marquee Sports Network. Now we know you can never get enough Bears, so join us Tuesday for Bear Essentials, a recap of this week's Bears action and analysis of the week ahead. Then we'll re-air this week's Bears game at 7 o'clock on Marquee Sports Network.
From the First Midwest Bank State Street Studio,
this is Chicago's new home of the White Sox.
ESPN 1000, WMVP Chicago.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
See what we're up to.
See them on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago.
Hope everyone had a fantastic weekend. Bears free weekend.
Let's try to convince me that the hooligans in Carm's neighborhood are wearing masks because they're just being responsible for COVID. Instead of trying to make sure that they are somewhat in disguise.
Carmen didn't say they were wearing
are.
The scream mask or ninja mask.
No, he said, but I know, but are you really wearing a COVID mask to Ding Dong and Ditch because you think it's going to keep you safer? You're
I
outside.
Think it's a little best of both worlds. You're
That's
being safe.
That's my point. And you're doing it to also hide your identity. Come on.
I think
You're not
these
just
are
out
the
there
suburbs.
Being...
I think there are. I think their parents are probably like, you can't go out unless you wear your mask.
See?
And then what do you... Right, yes. And then as soon as you get 15 feet away from your house, you put your mask in your pocket.
All kids are like that?
I would think the majority of them...
Don't if they know what's going on? They can't even go to school. They know what's up.
You think the kids are wearing COVID masks to ding-dong and ditch you because they're responsible young adults?
But yet they're ding-dong ditching you.
They're doing it just so that you can't identify who they are.
And sloppy, too. I mean, the effort
no
that they
doubt.
Gave there. I
it's
mean,
horrible.
Multiple approaches, then they're poking around there.
I'm just saying, listen, if you want to ring my doorbell and then my... fat old ass comes to the door and I look around and there's no one there and you giggle from off to the street. That's totally cool. If you've got like, I don't care if you've got a COVID mask or you're trying to hide your identity, you're walking through my bushes and looking in my front windows and stuff, you're going to scare my family and it's probably going to be game on.
Well, can I tell you too, this is why the Ring doorbell, and I'm not an endorser of the Ring doorbell. We just have it. So I'm telling you, this is why this is good.
That's
as
just
well.
So you know when Cap's coming to your house.
That too, right? He may have an undercooked omelet or two. No, I'm joking. But when you see motion, you get an alert when there's motion in your driveway. Okay, so you can go to your video then, and you could see we got a bunch of kids out there screwing around. So then you don't ever have to worry about quote protecting your
what
house.
What if they're not kids? What if they're hooligans?
Well, then you can alert the cops.
How do you know? You don't
have to open your door to check on what's going on because the eyes are on the outside already of the house. So you
what
know
if they
stuff
come to the
is
back
going
of your
on.
House?
But if you have to have a camera in the back then.
Okay.
You can do that too. I'm just saying that like ding dong ditching then. Like, I could have a delivery guy show up, okay, with pizzas, the Black and Abdallah owe me. And the delivery guy
tonight?
Could...
Tonight? Do you want him tonight?
And I could be, like, coming back from the store. And I could just talk through the doorbell and just say, just leave the pizza at the door.
And
I'm
he's
sure
like,
Black and Abdallah already
tipped
you.
And he's like, wow, you're rude. I'm going to put forks in your front lawn.
Well, then I could catch him doing that. But I mean, you could tell people like that you're upstairs taking a shower.
How far does the camera shoot? Like, how far out can you see people?
It depends on how far where you have it positioned. I could see quite far down all the way down my driveway.
Nice.
So you can like it detects motion even from the street level. When sometimes we'll get a motion alert when just a car drives by.
I just got an alert that Abdallah walked in the building.
Yeah, oh yeah, that's the Abdallah alert. Yeah. We have that on ESPN 1000. Before we take more of these calls on this, and if you want to weigh in on some football stuff, but this is really a fun topic about Carmen teaching a lesson to the neighborhood kids because they were screwing around outside his house. He ran them down and caught one, brought the kid back to his house and called their parents.
Carm, you need to text one of us and let us know the age of the perpetrator.
And we wanted to know if people think that this is a good way to get them to stop or did he escalate the situation. But there was some news I want to get people caught up on if they're just getting into their car. And I read a tweet about this, too. Jed Hoyer took over today as the Cubs president. He had a quote, introductory press conference. He did say he is going to conduct an outside the organization search for his role as general manager. So it sounds like they are going to go outside the organization for that. What Waddle found the most interesting, and Waddle, I just read someone's tweet who follows the Cubs too, what they thought was the most alarming was that there is no contract talk extension with anybody. Do you have that, Black, where you can play the clip of whether or not he is talking to anybody about a contract extension?
I mean, you know, first of all, you know, without, you know, specifying Chris, you know, we have a lot of great players on this roster. We have some guys that had great years last year, and, you know, we have some guys that had down years, but I certainly wouldn't speculate about the future of any one guy at this point. As far as the extension talks, we have none ongoing right now, you know, but certainly we have players on this roster that we'd love to have here for a long time. So at some point in the future, I think we'll probably pick those up. But right now, there's nothing ongoing.
You pointed that out right at the start, Waddle, that you were shocked that there, even if it's not right at the finish line, but there's no even talks going on.
Don't you have to start? I mean, what is today? November 23rd. November 23rd. And the tender date is what? The 2nd of December?
December 2nd, yeah.
I would think that you're I mean, this is go time, isn't it? For starting conversations? If you're interested,
they're probably all hands on deck looking for the best deal for Chris Bryant. That's what I think. And contract talks are on hold now. I think their focus right now is trying to find somebody who's going to give them something for Chris Bryant.
Fill me in on this. If you trade Chris Bryant, he's arbitration eligible. He doesn't have a contract right now, right?
Right.
So you own his rights. So what if you trade him to the Washington Nationals?
Right.
Then they what? They either offer him a long-term contract extension or
get him for the year.
They get him for the year. So right. There's, you know, there's...
Now, remember, they won a World Series with Rendon on his last year of his deal. So, and then they let him walk and they were happy. They were okay with Bryce Harper leaving them. They actually won the year after they got rid of Bryce Harper. So we found that interesting. So that was today. That's basically what you need to know there. Matt Nagy met the media after the long weekend with a bye and basically said that there is no real update on who's going to start at quarterback. But as Waddle opened the show, there was one guy out there and one guy wasn't. Who was out there, Waddle?
Mitch Trubisky, 10.
And Matt Nagy was not. I mean, Foles was not.
Matt may not have been out there either. I don't know.
They're one and the same. So then Montgomery was back, and Eddie Jackson was put on the COVID list. According to Dan Weeder, from what he understands, is this wasn't him testing positive. This was the protocol of him being in close contact who did test positive.
Also of note, if I read Twitter correctly, I don't believe Akeem Hicks was out on the field today either, correct?
Right, and he had the hamstring injury from the last game on Monday Night
Football.
Yeah,
they need him back.
They do. He's, like I like to say, the engine for that defense. 332-3776 if you want to talk to us. Ben's in Indiana. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Ben?
Hey, how you doing? Long-time listener. Love the show.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Sylvie Strong, too. Hey,
I appreciate that. Yeah.
Awesome. Hey, real quick story. Grew up in a small town, Indiana, 4,000 people. We lived on, like, the last country road, which was, you know, similar to a subdivision. Houses both sides of the road. The only difference was cornfield behind one side, woods behind the other. We would hide in the cornfield.
Yeah, you get lost in the cornfield.
We were like children of the corn.
Yeah.
And we, you know, that was our clubhouse, basically. And one day we decided to have fun with the vice principal of the high school, who was also the coach of the high school football team. Oh boy. And, you know, we got our corn stalks. What we would do, we would shuck the corn, and you could throw them really good. So we got a bunch of this set up, and the next day we went out to do it, and there was a party going on. We didn't know what was going on, but there was some kind of party. So we start chucking corn. All of a sudden, all these high school kids in uniforms, you know, shorts and jerseys, start congregating. We're like, uh-oh. All of a sudden, we realize it's the high school football team.
Yeah, take that.
We're 10, 11 years old, 12 years old at the most. We're not even in high school. My one buddy jumps out, whips his corn cob out, and says, yeah. You know, we're country bunkin'. He whips his corn cob out and says, hey, you know, on you guys. And starts to do, you know, the natural thing. The coach comes out the back door onto the deck, sees what's going on, and basically says, get him. The whole senior football team.
Whipping your ass.
Was across that yard over this little, I mean, we're talking 4 foot fence. Which my little, you know, 11-year-old chubby butt would have had a hard time getting over. They were over it in a second. I bet you I didn't make it 60 feet into that corn, and they were all over us like, you know, S on S.
You know, and what the lesson here is don't take your corn cob out.
Yeah, I know. Keep your corn. Don't keep your corn cob. Don't shuck your corn.
Thanks for the phone call. Arlen in Kenosha, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Arlen.
Hey, how you guys doing? So I got like 2 points and a personal story. When kids do this stuff to you, they either love you or you hate you. They really, really love this guy and trying to get your respect, or they hate you and they're trying to get your respect. Number two, Carm needs to just relax and have some fun with this. Be like Heathcliff Huxtable or Clark Griswold and have fun with it.
I don't think you want to be like Dr. Huxtable, though, these days.
Well, you know,
you're in more trouble than you think.
Okay, Clark Griswold. And then, and number three, this is why Carm really needs to chill out and just really take it as fun, because I've had this situation where I was a bartender. Someone came in my job, not someone, kids, 15 to 18-year-old kids, and I still think they're kids. They stole my tip jar. I hopped over the bar, and I chased them down for 3 blocks because I would be damned, right?
Yeah.
I caught them, and then I didn't realize what I was going to do then. And I'm thinking, these kids might have guns and stuff on them. I didn't even know what to do after I caught them. So Carm needs to just relax. His neighborhood ain't the hood. You know, these are kids just trying to have fun.
All right, Arlen, thank you. That's one of the people who said maybe not on what he did. Jeff in Lamont, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, I can't compare my story to the guy that was on 55 of Stevenson. That was awesome, to be honest with you, the shotgun thing.
Yeah.
But my story real quick is Carmen absolutely did the right thing. I had a very similar incident happen about 2 or 3 years ago. I have 3 little kids, 8, 5, and 3, and the youngest one was just born. So we were talking like 5, 2, and newborn. And they ding-dong ditched me on a Friday, and they came back to get me on a Saturday. And I absolutely stormed out the door, went after them. I cornered them in one of the neighbors, like between the two neighbor houses, and I basically put the fear of God out of them. And I didn't bring them back to my house, but I basically pulled like the Tommy Boy where I said, I know where you sleep. I know where your mom is. And if I have to come over there, I'll tell them what you're doing, and so on and so forth. So I think, and I have yet to be ding-dong-dished again. So I think Carmen absolutely did the right thing.
Sounds good. Good story. Yeah. Thank you. 332-3776 is always the number to weigh in on whatever we've got going. We want to get to the good, the bad, the dirty, a recap of the sports weekend, because it was really good, and Mark Jean Greco will join us coming up at 5:30.
Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
The good.
It's gone! Oh, my God!
The bad.
That is so bad, that is absolutely brutal.
And the dirty.
I'm talking about nasty.
Wow, so many stories are running through my head right now.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN Chicago.
Right, it's the good, the bad, the dirty. We'll go around the room. Something from the sports weekend, or may not include sports at all.
By the way, do we ever find out how old the kid was that Carm apprehended?
I haven't seen a text yet.
Okay, all right.
No, he has not gotten back to us. All right, let's start with our goods, Waddle. What was your good from the weekend?
My good was the Northwestern win at home over Wisconsin to get to 5-0. I know Wisconsin was a little shorthanded. Didn't have a couple of their wide receivers, but that's a good Northwestern team, and it was fun to watch. So my good is the Cats. Go Cats.
They are now 5-0.
5-0.
Indiana did not remain undefeated. I wanted you to hear this because I like Tom Allen. We talked about him a little bit with Rever on Friday. He was a defensive guy. He took over that program, and he's taken them to the heights that we have not seen. And they easily could have gotten blown out of that Ohio State game, and many people thought they would. But then it went down to the finish. This is Tom Allen in the locker room with his team after the game. Tell me what you think, Waddle.
I want you to listen to me carefully. Eyes on me. We ain't feeling sorry for ourselves. No, sir. We didn't play our best football. You know it and I know it. But you didn't quit. You didn't quit. You fought them. You got character. You got something to you. There's a lot of football to be played. A lot of football to be played. You understand me?
Yes, sir.
We ain't coming to be close. And I'm ticked off by the result. But I'm proud of you guys. And you fought. And you fought. And you fought. You stay together. You understand me?
Yes, sir.
You stay together. This team is special. Special things ahead of you. You understand me?
Yes, sir.
Special things ahead of you. That's the truth. So you stay together. I love this football team, man. You got no idea. The good and the bad.
I mean, that's out of Friday Night Lights, Waddle.
That's
not
Norman Dale. I love you guys.
I mean, yeah.
I still cry when I hear Gene Hackman tell his guys as he pulls them in, I love you guys.
How about
still
the level cry. Of silence in that room while he was talking?
Yeah,
you could hear the hum.
He's a great
of the
story.
Theater.
He's a great story, and he's done a fantastic job with that team.
I thought you thought maybe it would go a little over the top. Did you enjoy that? Did you like that?
Yeah, I mean,
was that the right way to go about it?
Be yourself. If that's who Tom Allen is, then that's what he should do. If that's manufactured enthusiasm, then it won't resonate. But you heard how the guys responded. So my guess is that's Tom Allen's personality.
Black, what about you? What's your good?
Yeah, I'll give a shout out to the Cats from Northwestern. I'm going to give you something else for my good. But as someone who's been hard on Northwestern the last couple of years for the season last season.
Well, they weren't very good last year.
And that's my point is, I always point to people just kind of ignore Northwestern when they're not playing well, and then they give them all the props when they are
right.
playing well.
That's why it's a perfect job.
Well, exactly. So my point last year was, this team is terrible. This is a big media market. We should call out how bad this is. So I'm giving them props for the win against Wisconsin. That was stellar on Saturday. I'm going to give you guys Kansas City beating Oakland because both games – went down to the wire, and both games were fascinating between Gruden and Reed. And I like that rivalry, Raiders-Chiefs, and the Chiefs won last night. It was a fun game to watch. That's my good.
You're 100% right about that. And people forget that John Gruden's not just this character. John Gruden's a hell of a football coach.
I think he can be a boob at times, but he sure the hell can coach offense.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And Derek Carr is, I mean, look.
I'd take Derek Carr in a heartbeat right now with good coaching.
Don't you remember in the offseason this year, we were all talking about whether or not Derek Carr would be available? He was at the top of my list.
Yep. That's one of those divisional matchups that I would take that for a playoff game. I would take a third matchup between those two teams.
Yeah. Why not? Yeah, they've been great games. Waddle, what's your bad?
My bad was the injury to Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow was playing like a 10-year vet, and just to see him go down and know how severe the knee injury was, it was just tough to watch. It's so unbelievably difficult to watch him, like anybody, get hurt, but I felt for the Cincinnati Bengals. But look, you probably shouldn't ask him to drop back and throw it 40 times a game, knowing that your offensive line is not equipped to protect your number one overall pick.
My bad was antsy Bulls fans over the weekend. It reminded me a lot of 2012 when Cubs fans were getting mad at Theo. It's very early with a new regime. There's very little cap room on a very underwhelming free agent class. why would you want them to mortgage the future? They need to figure out what they've got right now so they know which direction they need to go with their roster. Why overspend like on another Otto Porter contract or another Rajon Rondo like in years past?
Who did they get, Chris? Who was the one guy?
Garrett Temple.
Yeah. Yeah. And Temple's a guy from Brooklyn, and he's a solid vet for a low cost. That he's like the vice president too of the union, good leader, but again, you're not wasting any salary cap space on that, and I just think like they didn't get anything for Chris Dunn. Really, are you upset they didn't get anything for Chris Dunn?
Nope.
Don't you know what Chris Dunn is? He's fine going somewhere else. He's in Atlanta. He can be there. I think it was sort of short sighted for Bulls fans again. Boy, with all the years that Pax and Gar had, everyone sure got a short patience level with the new regime.
You know what's funny about that, Sylvie, is that to me, it shows a message of the new regime cutting the fat. Like, instead of just hoping and wishing that Dunn turns into something, this isn't going to work. Go on your way.
We don't need him. We need better shooting. Yes, he's a good defensive player, but why just bring him back for that?
That's a luxury for a team that rebuilt.
Yeah, exactly.
Also, antsy Bulls fans that don't understand that they basically have a full roster and no cap space, but they want to go out and spend, don't really know what's going on.
Boy, some people did cash some checks, though, this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Including guys who I may have wanted, listen, like Tatum or Mitchell, who signed long-term deals. Right.
I was going to give you guys, for my bad, the Detroit Lions, because they got shut out to a team that was starting XFL quarterback.
Yeah.
P.J. Walker, do you know who that is, Sylvia?
Yes, XFL guy, right?
Yeah, I mean, the Panthers win 20-0, but also, shout out to Charlotte. What are you paying Gordon Hayward max money for?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
It's a Michael Jordan move,
isn't it?
It's a Michael Jordan front office move.
What was it, 4 years and...
He's going to be making
like $120 million?
Yes, yeah, he's $30 a year.
Oh, my Lord.
That's why when he opted out of his own deal, right?
Yeah.
I was like, what are you doing?
Well, he opted out because he wasn't happy with his role with the Celtics.
Right, and he knew
he wasn't playing as much.
I'm sure he knew he could sign this deal for $120 million.
I guess, but good luck with that. That's bad.
Again, Michael is not the guy I want running my team. He's the guy I want playing for my team. Not running my team, and I think this is another move that shows that. Waddle, what do you got for your dirty?
My dirty, I mentioned it earlier in the show. The offensive pass interference call on the Purdue tight end, I can't come up with a plausible explanation for how that flag came out of a pocket other than that was intentional dirty pool. There was nothing. You say that play.
Nothing live, there, right?
There's zero there. Zero. So, you know, God bless the betting site that's, you know, refunded all the tickets if you had Purdue on the money line. But that's wild incompetence, or somebody's got an angle for throwing that flag.
Yeah. My dirty is Sean Payton in more ways than one. Did you guys see what Roddy White tweeted before the Saints-Falcons game? Roddy White, he at one time was a really good wide receiver
for the Falcons.
So, big Falcons guy. Roddy White tweeted, Saints about to get whip trying with Taysom Hill at quarterback. We about to snack them. So, not only did Roddy White tweet that at Sean Payton before the Falcons game, Sean Payton retweeted it then, too. And then he went out and took his third-string quarterback, second-string quarterback, whatever you want to say, and he built a game plan around him, and he said, oh, yeah, here you go.
Is that what you call snacking somebody? Is that how you snack them, is you take your third-string quarterback and you beat them?
Yes.
That's snacking.
I wish we had a guy who could snack someone.
I just want to snack.
Yeah.
We got a guy who just wants to play. Like, you turn on that Kansas City Raiders game that you guys were talking about.
Oh, so good.
And you see that, like, at every turn, they've got a different playmaker, you know? And they're like, we could do this, we could do that. It all works, too, because they're so talented, and Mahomes is running the show. We can't do that, though.
I'm not so sure, also, that the best, most electric skill player isn't on the – I'm not sure he's not the guy playing tight end for the Raiders.
Yeah.
Waller?
Yeah, Waller.
And I think you can make an argument, like, I love Kelce.
Oh, yeah.
Tyreek Hill is fantastic. There are a lot of great players on that
field.
You're
saying he's better than all the Chiefs?
He might be.
What I'm saying to you is in the right system, that guy may be the most elusive and biggest playmaker of them all. Better athlete than Travis Kelce.
Well, right, but I mean, Kelce's just great.
I understand that, but Kelce's also in a system that's got a lot around him. If you put Waller on that Chiefs team, he could do what Kelce does. And I love Kelce. He's an all-pro. I'm just telling you, I think that much of that kid.
Okay.
That Waller touchdown at the goal line where he the entire play was going to the right, but he went to the left in the back of the end zone. When that happened, I was like, there's no way that's in Nagy's playbook.
No.
There is no way a play like that where the tight end is wide open in the back of the end zone exists.
You realize, I mean, he's been good for a while, too. Last year, I mean, he was probably the best player in the league that didn't get all the attention that was deserved him. Last year, he had 90 catches for 1,145 yards.
Nagy wants to be the guy. He wants to coach the Bulls with the playbook that the Harlem Globetrotters run. Like, you know what I mean? Like, no. That only works with the Harlem Globetrotters. This is only working with the Chiefs right now.
Right.
Stop trying to be the Chiefs. Coach your team.
Which means you had to put some guys under center and maybe give me an I formation.
Yeah, right.
And three tight ends.
Black, wrap us up.
Quickly, Justin Herbert. He's my dirty because, again, this is all about receipts. I was wrong on Herbert coming out of the draft.
I was,
too. He is the real deal, and the Chargers are going to be good for a long time with him.
Even with the bad haircut.
Yeah.
All right. Well, no bad haircuts for Mark Jean Greco, and he posted a picture of a handsome young Mark Jean Greco over the weekend.
DA.
We'll also get his reaction to what Carmen did. Marky coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie, weekdays, 2 to 6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Time for Mark Jean Greco, brought to you by Chicago Cut Steakhouse. Was going through Facebook.
That's a good weekend. Picture. That then, had to be like your Dayton junior year.
Oh, did you see that picture? Well, that was a response to my friend Danetta Thomas, who retired from Channel 7 several years ago. She had posted a picture of herself, real long, straight hair, kind of a hippie outfit, getting out of a tent. She looked like she was at Woodstock. You know, she looked like Janis Joplin. So everybody responded to her, and she was doing a thing called Vintage Photo Challenge. So she said, Mark, why don't you throw one up? So I put up a picture of me sitting on the back porch of my house in college. I thought it was 72, but my buddy said it was actually 74. But what's the difference? It's a blur anyway. So that got like 480 comments. You know, it was weird. It's like, you look like Tom Wopat. You look like Bill Bixby, Michael Landon.
A young Tom, what's his name? Who was the singer?
Tom Jones.
Tom Jones.
Nah, I don't know about that. But
actor handsome, Mark, I got to say.
Nah, I don't know about that.
Actor handsome.
Had a big fro going. You know, Lou Ferrigno I got. You know, the
did the ladies like
Hulk.
To run their hands through your hair?
Oh, yes. It got caught, though, because it's kind of like Brillo. It was a Sicilian fro, for sure. And I had gotten my hair cut for that picture. So it was even longer than that. But I'm going to post the entire photo of my six buddies in college. We look like the first album cover of Pure Prairie League. I mean, it's it's great to go back and do that kind of stuff and say, wow. And you think back what you were thinking back then. Who
yes.
were you back then? What were you going to do? You know, it was.
What would you tell yourself?
Yeah, somebody asked me that. And said,
if you didn't have a pack of smokes, you were going to the store to get some right after the picture.
It was like, you know, what would you tell your younger self? And I said, you know, be a nicer guy.
Wrap it up.
Be more assertive. And don't be afraid to fail. That's what I would have told myself.
Oh, you got sappy. I thought you
were
gonna,
real sappy.
He's sappy these days.
And somebody
though,
said just exactly what you said. Get a pack of smokes, go to a concert, drink some beers, and chase girls.
Yeah.
Which we all did while we were thinking about our lives, you know. So that was fun. That was good.
It was
kinda
spectacular.
Like, it's kind of like your big bobblehead thing here. You know, with your little mullet going.
Yeah, that's
Tommy.
From college.
That's no little mullet. That's a good
a grand mullet.
That's a full.
By the way, I brought in my father-in-law's, it was his bobblehead day at the Patriot Hall of Fame on Saturday.
Yeah.
I'm holding this up for the Twitch family. This is the smallest bobblehead you've ever seen in your
it's
life.
Tiny.
He's in his Patriots Hall of Fame jacket. It doesn't look like him.
No, they rarely do.
But he's got his, this is his bobblehead.
That's too bad. He should have been in his number 20 jersey.
Like, look at the box.
Yeah,
the box is
punting.
There's the picture
compare
of him kicking.
To the Empire guy. You got the Empire carpet guy right you know in front what? Of you. Look at the difference in size.
Yeah, that's the Empire carpet guy.
But he almost looks like the Empire carpet guy.
But
that's Gino.
Look at that. Look at
that's
that.
Crazy.
I mean, Gino's a Hall of Famer. Nothing wrong with the Empire carpet guy.
He was great, too. Yeah. He passed away a while ago,
right.
But he was fun.
Gino's number 20, and the Empire carpet guy was number 588.
2-300 Empire.
There's a freebie for you.
Did you hear about the Carmen story? You'd get a kick out of this, what he did this weekend.
I don't think so. It had to do with whiskey?
No.
Oh.
It was Friday night. He saw some shadows outside his house. And he's like, uh-oh, what's going on out there?
Uh-oh.
So then he looked out the window, and then he didn't notice anything. And then the shadows returned, and he's like, what's going on? And you're like, you got kids in the house. So he opened up the door, and out of the bushes jumped like a teenager and scared the you-know-what out of him. And he said the level of scared was his, heart exploding.
Sure.
He got scared. And so a bunch of kids run out of the bushes, and they start running away, and he's yelling at them. He's like, you just better watch it if I get a hold of one of you guys.
It's not funny if I catch one of you.
He's the old guy in the neighborhood now.
And then one of the kids yelled, oh, yeah? Well, good luck trying. So Carmen sprinted off his doorstep
caught
one.
Damn, that's great.
Yes, that's what
I said.
That's
awesome.
He caught the weak one of the herd.
Yeah, run down that little loud punk.
Yeah.
Loudmouth punk. Oh,
that's
fantastic.
Yes.
Good for you, Carm.
Well done. Set the tone.
Yeah.
Set the tone. These guys are worried that all of a sudden you've set yourself up now for future shenanigans.
Eggs. Yes.
From them.
That's
Eggs.
Right.
Black actually talked about people putting forks in your lawn.
What?
Plastic
forks. Yeah, fork your yard. Yeah.
I've never heard of that until today.
You go buy a pack of the 500 plastic forks.
You stick them
all
in
over
forks
the yard.
Up.
No, forks down.
Forks down.
And they snap
off. You got the plastic thing
snap. Yeah.
Wow, that's pretty nasty.
Yeah. See,
who's got that kind of time to put 500 forks in somebody's
kids.
Lawn?
Stupid kids have that much time.
My brother put 40 flamingos on my front yard on my 40th birthday.
Well, that's fun, yeah.
Live ones?
Well, he bought the giant ones, and they ran out, so he had to get the little ones with the propeller wings. Like, he bought out every home and garden store on the North Shore.
What was the symbolic nature of the flamingo?
There's nothing. It's just it's all over my lawn, so people would see it and say, hey, the guy's 40. I don't know. Something. But, yeah, you know, that reminds me of the Freddie Pastelis story. If you're going to stick forks in somebody's yard, you might as well
through their front
set
window.
The bushes in the lawn on fire and smash their front window with a bowling ball.
That's what amazes me
that's
about you and Waddle.
That's what reminds me of. But they couldn't catch us.
But, Mark, this is what amazes me about you and Waddle. You guys were the ultimate pranksters as kids.
Yeah, right.
But yet you're all for these kids getting caught when you two were the guys who were doing all
that's
this.
That's what happened.
Yeah, but that was the thrill of doing it when we were kids was that somebody was going to try to catch us.
And if you got run down, you were embarrassed.
That's
and
right.
That stuck with you the rest
you
of your life.
You were the weak member
so
of the herd.
So that kid's learned a lesson for the rest of
crying.
His life. Good.
I was still trying to figure out how old he was because Carm brought the kid back to the house.
Great. That's fantastic.
He called his mom.
Oh, my God,
Carm. He brought the kill back to the house.
See, that's what happens when you're a young Italian guy and you become an old Italian guy. It's like Robin Williams in A World According to Garp.
He went from being terrified because you've got shadowy figures going in front of your house and your windows. You got young kids in the house.
Plus, we have a heightened sense of fear of the pandemic, COVID, everything.
That's what I said to Black, and he made fun of me.
Come on, Chris. We're all on edge
here. Waddle was all worried because they're wearing masks. They're wearing COVID masks.
You're not wearing a COVID mask to protect yourself from your other hooligan buddies when you're outside ding-dong and ditching. You're doing it to hide your identity.
But Carmen pointed out that they were COVID masks. They weren't like monster masks.
Okay, I get that. Were they like this? Were they like medical masks?
They probably were.
Cloth ones that
they
you guys had.
They probably had skull and crossbones on them and everything. Well, yeah, I'm sure they were COVID masks, but they served the purpose of being
vandals. They were safe and they were
those
vandals.
Those kids are not ding-dong and ditching with masks on because they're protecting themselves from COVID. That's the silliest thing in this entire conversation.
That's right. I agree with you. I want to hear what the kid's parents said. I want to see how they
reacted. Carm said he brought the kid back and Karen, his wife, recognized the kid and called the mother of the kid, right?
We're calling your mom.
That's fantastic. I love that.
Now, I said to these guys, like, listen, you really think you, A, you know the perpetrator. You hunted the kid down, so, like, you know what?
Yeah.
You let it be known, oh, yeah, try. Well, I caught you. So I wouldn't fear further retrosecution hooligans.
If that had been my dad, every single kid in that entire suburb would have been grounded for the summer. Because my dad was the strictest of all parents. So
is that why you were outrageous?
Well, yeah, I guess.
Would your dad maybe be okay of another father grabbing you by the shirt and bringing you back to their house?
In 1968, yes, that's what you did.
What about in 2020?
Today, this is a bold move by Carmen.
Yeah.
This is huge.
Yes, I said that to Sylvie as well. I said back in my time, my father and mother would have given whoever it was full permission to beat my ass.
People used to call my dad and go, Joe, what do you think? Hey, he goes, ground everybody. Okay. So my dad was the measuring stick for all other parents. But today, for Carmen to take that upon himself, chase that little punk down, drag him back to the house, that's fantastic.
Yeah,
that's good old school
I'm with you.
Discipline,
yes.
Man.
Yes.
I knew Mark would love that. 312-332-3776. Some callers want to talk to you, including our buddy Braggs. We'll get to him on the other side. I also want to bring up Pat Fitzgerald. I know how much you love Fitz.
Yes.
The big win, and then all this talk about whether or not a pro team should go after him. We had major thoughts about that. More with Mark Gingreco, brought to you by Chicago Cut Steakhouse, next. The 5 o'clock hour of Waddle and Sylvie is brought to you by the Home Loan Expert. Have you locked in on your refinance yet? What are you waiting for? Do what I did. Apply online today with a 5-minute loan approval. Only available with Ryan Kelly at thehomeloanexpert.com.
Coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Mark Gingreco, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, right here on ESPN 1000. He's brought to you by our great partners at Chicago Cut Steakhouse, David Flom and Maddie Moore. They're cooking you up a great Thanksgiving meal. Whether you're heading to Chicago Cut to sit outside, whether you want to take Thanksgiving to go, call them today.
I was going to say, they're going to be cooking a ton of Thanksgiving meals, aren't they, this year?
They always do, yes. 312-329-1800. 312-329-1800 for more information on whether or not they still have room to eat there or your Thanksgiving to go.
That's going to be good.
Yeah.
They're making me a special dirty martini turkey.
Are
the
they?
Legs are holding the glass, and it's stuffed with olives and blue cheese instead of regular stuffing.
Nice.
That'd be good. That'd be great.
That is so great. A three-course Thanksgiving dinner, the whole turkey, 14 to 16 pounds.
Wow.
Or you could get a half turkey. Of course, they've got gravy and everything. You got charred chived mashed potatoes.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Apricot cornbread stuffing.
Oh, yeah.
Southern cream spinach. Grand Marnier glazed carrots.
Oh, jeez.
Fresh baked Parker House rolls. Homemade cranberry sauce.
Yeah. Clear.
Yeah.
Yep. They've got the whole pumpkin pie, the whole apple pie.
Can you buy your wine from there, too?
You can, too. Yes, absolutely. Right. So everything you need, just call Chicago Cut Steakhouse.
Fantastic.
What do you think about the Fitz and the Cats and the fighting Reese Davises?
I love that whole thing. Joey Galloway saying they look like a bunch of Reese Davises. And ESPN fueled that win over Wisconsin. Shows you the power of the media. They're yelling that stuff out during practice. They take it to Wisconsin. And today Fitz said, you know, it was so great. They had Reese Davis on a Zoom call at the team meeting today. They called Joey Galloway. It was wonderful. It was great stuff. And Fitz is like, okay, now we got to move on.
Right.
You know, and that was great. Now, all of a sudden, with this success at 5-0, chance to go to the championship game of the conference, the first thing everyone says about a successful college coach, oh, somebody needs to throw some money at him and offer him an NFL job. That would be the worst thing that Fitz could ever do. The worst thing. He has the greatest situation in the world.
The best.
Born and raised here, okay?
Two-time
All-American at Northwestern, okay? Southside guy, makes good. He's got a contract for life. If he wants
it. The AD, Jim Phillips, who's the best in all of college sports,
should be the commissioner of the Big Ten.
Yeah.
He has got, you know, the most incredible situation here. And I'm telling you, I don't think Fitz's way of coaching and his the way he approaches his players would work in the NFL. I think he can motivate a college kid to no end, the best in the business. I think he would be frustrated, depressed, and angry trying to work with professional players.
Yeah, you'd have to definitely adjust your style or your approach.
Why would you want to do that? Fitz has got to be Fitz. I mean, I remember seeing him at a Hawk game. I'm standing in line at the concession stand. He comes running out, and he was just screaming and yelling about, you know, the game and how, you know, both goalies were standing on their head. The guy is so excited about everything.
Yeah.
And he's genuine as hell. And he loves to poke fun at the media. And he loves to make fun of his players in the most endearing, fatherly, uncle-y way. I don't think an NFL job would satisfy him at all. You know, a lot of guys go and they get the money and they're miserable. And they're lucky to get back into the college ranks.
Yes. That's the thing, Mark. He's got, what is he making, $5 million here?
Yeah.
Is it that
much? I sent this to the group over the weekend, and I did the player A, player B earlier. I sent this to the gang about coaches. Coming into this year, there was one Big Ten coach who was 47-18 since 2015. Another coach was 39-26. Do you know who Coach A and who Coach B is? 47-18 coming into this year. And Jim another Harbaugh. One was 39-26.
Jim Harbaugh.
Jim Harbaugh was the second one.
No, Jim Harbaugh's the first one. 47-18 coming into the year.
Fitz is the second one.
Fitz is the second one, okay? They coach in the Big Ten, the same conference. If you're at Michigan and you're 39-26... you're out.
Yes.
You're out. You're out at Notre Dame. And I'm not saying that Fitz is bad. This is perfect for him because 10-3 is celebrated. And 3-9, you're being thrown out on your ass. You know, so right now after this year's start, Harbaugh's 49-21 and he's on the hot seat.
But the only reason Harbaugh still has a job is because they don't have anybody succeed him, and they've committed so much money to him, and he's off the rails. He's lost his mind.
He's got 1 year left after this.
He's just a goober now.
Fitz is 44-26. He has five less wins and five more losses than Harbaugh. But one coach is being pitched for the NFL. Another coach is being pitched to be thrown out of Michigan.
I see your point, but don't discount the Northwestern program. Since Gary Barnett finally put it on the map and got it in the big time, Fitz has taken it to the next level. And
well, look, there was a coach in between there who was really good, too.
Well, Randy Walker was his mentor.
Right.
And Randy was successful as
I'm not taking away from Fitz. I'm saying be careful what you wish for.
Yes. Okay.
Like with Northwestern doesn't come the expectations of Notre Dame or USC or
Michigan. Right, but let's make it clear that it's not a fact of nobody cares about Northwestern football and you can just quietly hide there. That's not the case.
I'm just saying that when you go 3-9 last year, at Michigan you're fired. But with Wilbon and Greeny, you know what they're saying? Aw, shucks, he's our guy. We love him, and we have a lot of faith because he's turned our program
around. Right, and last year Fitz said, wait till next year. We're going to surprise people. Everyone, yeah, sure. And they got picked to be last in the conference.
They are not going to be able to recruit like other schools. They have limitations. They have
because you have to go to school and
you
get grades.
Different requirements, and there's other things. Like, I think, weren't we always talking about, why can't Northwestern be the Stanford of college
football?
Stanford
or Duke, right.
Well, I mean, they're better consistently than Duke is in football, for sure.
Right, but if Duke could be good at basketball.
It's a great fit.
It sure is.
And that's why don't mess with it. Greg Braggs wants to talk to Gene Greco. Braggs, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up? Did he fall off?
What's happening, boys?
You think he's ever going to fall off? He'd stay on there for 5 hours.
I will hang out. I will follow you guys to the edge of the earth.
I know
there you
will.
So, you know, I hear this story about Carm, you know, and this hits close to my heart because I was a prankster as a kid. You know, we'd go running around, we'd egg the front gate and stuff like that. And if you get caught, Carm, the whole story was good. He caught him, he tested Carm, Carm caught him. But then he tattletaled. He called his parents. That's weak sauce. I'm sorry.
What are you kidding?
Catch him.
Hang up right now.
You don't tattletale.
You hang up that phone.
Nope, you don't tattletale. Make them shovel
that's
your driveway
weak sauce.
Five times.
That's being a suburban dad. You follow through with that with an iron fist.
No, you don't tattletale, because now he's going to come back. If it was me and I'm a troublemaker, you tattletale on me, I'm going to come back, you know, guns a-blazing.
No, you're not. You're going to be mocked by your friends now. You're going to be demoralized.
And then, you know what? I'm going to catch you again, and next time we're going to do this.
That's where Carm could have got tricky. He could, depending on how old the kid is, he could have, you know, because he caught him. You know, the kid should feel bad about that. He could have done something on social media, called him out on Twitter for it, depending on his age, of course. But, you know, he called his parents. I don't know.
That's what you do.
Is kind of weak.
That's what you do. And when that kid grows up and goes for a job interview, Carmen's going to torpedo that.
I don't know about that.
He's not going to get the kid.
Okay, look at Finding Forster.
There's
Finding
a character
Forster.
Issue with this
look
guy.
At, look at the movie Finding Forster, Sean Connery. He just passed away. So in the movie, the kids are pranking this kid, the guy. He's a writer hiding in his house. And does the writer go and tattletale on the kid? No. He takes him under his wing, and that's how the whole movie goes. You don't tattletale.
Your brother, Trebek. Yeah.
You guys have a good one.
There you go.
You talk about weak sauce. Don't let him in with that call again.
What do you got? Bleck and Abdallah. Where I don't see either one of them. What's on the show tonight, guys? Stuff.
What do you want? They're in the hallway.
It just said stuff. Stuff's on the show tonight.
This is so professional.
You guys are all about going after the kids, right? Go after the kids.
What about
the children? I
want to
know, what's the best prank you've ever pulled?
That's good.
Okay.
Oh, well, there's some good ones.
You already know mine.
All right.
You already know mine.
Okay.
So.
All right, 332-3776 to talk to Bleck and Abdallah. They're coming up in 2 minutes. Thank you to Chicago Cut Steakhouse. Thank you to Mark Jean Greco. Chris Bleck, great work. Sean also helped out, I do believe.
Yes, he did.
Sean's right there working the controls.
Sean, great work as always. For Marky and Waddle, I'm Sylvie. It's ESPN 1000. Have yourself a great Monday night.
It's the classic.
I am really excited.
That was a big thrill.
Hi, it's Andre Dawson, including myself, Ed Belfour.
Who's getting wild tonight? That's what I'm talking about, baby.
No hi from you.
What?
No hi from you.
I'll give him more byes than highs.
Waddle, waddle, waddle. Then he waddled away. Waddle, waddle. Till the very next day. Bum, 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 bum.
And thank you to all a good night.